It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Coronavirus sell-off.
I think this disease meets the definition of pandemic.
That is our top story at noon today. Trading resumes on Wall Street after a coronavirus sell-off earlier today triggered a 15-minute freeze in the markets. The Dow fell 2,000 points 5 minutes after the opening bell.
Of course, this is all about the coronavirus and the fear of the economic impact.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
After the 1987 crash, there was the thought that if we had a moment to take a timeout, a 15-minute break, that that would kind of soothe the nerves of investors. So these circuit breakers or trading halts occur at specific levels.
Overnight oil prices fell by 30%. That's the biggest drop since the Gulf War in 1990.
U.S. oil producers rely on oil being at a high enough level so that they can make money. So this is not very good for the energy industry in the United States.
As far as the human toll goes, at least 24 people now dead in the U.S. from coronavirus. Over 560 have been infected.
We have cases on all continents. The U.S. is better prepared than any other country, but it's also true that no country is really prepared for a major pandemic.
That's Dr. Tom Inglesby at Johns Hopkins University. He says things will get a whole lot worse before they get better. Passengers, meantime, who've been stuck on a Princess cruise ship off the coast of California for the past week, we'll step back on dry land today. Here's California Governor Gavin Newsom.
Oakland's uniquely positioned to quickly move those passengers to be quarantined.
At least 21 people on board that cruise ship have tested positive for coronavirus. Governor Newsom says none of the passengers will come into contact with the general public for 14 days. Meantime, in Washington, D.C., a warning has just been issued regarding coronavirus.
Anyone who visited Christ Church, Georgetown, either on February 24th or between February 28th and March 3rd, self-quarantine themselves at home for 14 days.
That's D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. She says the warning comes after the minister at that church tested positive for the virus. Texas Senator Ted Cruz, meantime, staying away from the Capitol today after he came into contact with someone who had the bug at a conference in Maryland. Overseas, the death toll from coronavirus in Iran stands at 237. In Italy, there's a lockdown in the hard-hit northern part of that country. That's where we find correspondent Charlie Daggett.
Italians are just coming to terms with a shocking new reality, the quarantine of a quarter of the country's population, nobody in or out. A forced lockdown that includes the financial capital of Milan and Venice, one of Italy's main tourist draws. Italy's beloved soccer games played behind closed doors. Fans are banned. At the Vatican, Pope Francis live-streamed his Sunday blessing on wide screens instead of his papal apartment window to discourage crowds from gathering.
That's Charlie Daggett reporting from Italy today. No spectators will be allowed for the lighting of the Olympic torch because of the coronavirus outbreak. And Japan today announced it's postponing the opening day of its Major League Baseball season until April. Dr. John Torres says he hopes coronavirus cases will start to drop off as warmer weather approaches.
Other coronaviruses do the same thing. They tend to taper off in the summer as well in warm weather. This one, we're hoping it does that because that'll give us a break, but we're not sure it'll do that.
Dr. Torres says a good indicator will be in Italy and France, which got hit hard by the coronavirus. He says if cases go down there in the next couple of weeks, the very same thing should happen here. President Trump will huddle with his top economic team today when he returns to the White House from Florida. They're going to talk about the coronavirus. Now to campaign 2020, the two Democratic presidential frontrunners looking ahead to tomorrow's primary.
I think we got a great shot to win in Michigan. I think we got a great shot to win in Washington, maybe some other states as well.
Bernie Sanders hoping to regain some momentum following Super Tuesday losses to Joe Biden, the former VP, in the lead in Michigan, too. Both candidates campaigning there today.
What a difference a week makes. So all those who have been knocked down, counted out, this is your campaign.
Today, Joe Biden got the endorsement from yet another former Democratic presidential hopeful, this time Senator from New Jersey, Cory Booker. Political analyst Ed O'Keefe says if Biden wins Michigan tomorrow, Bernie Sanders will have a tough time bouncing back.
Biden leads in polling here, so there's a good chance for him to help start putting it away.
Even this Bernie's supporter says it's over for the Vermont senator if he loses Michigan.
Two losses in a row for anybody is hard to recover.
4 years ago, Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Clinton in Michigan. Donald Trump won the state in 2016. Prince Harry and wife Meghan Markle making their final royal appearance together.
Unlike last year's Commonwealth Day service, Harry and Meghan will be seated in the second row reserved for lesser royals.
Here it is, beautiful.
Not lesser in the eyes of these kids after a surprise visit from the Duchess at their racially mixed working class school in East London Friday.
It's a moment I will never forget.
It made me think my voice matters, what I have to say is important.
In her brief time as a British royal, Meghan reached and inspired whole new swathes of British society. That'll be a tough hole to fill.
That's Vicky Barker reporting from London, the first recreational marijuana shop in the city of Boston, opening to the public. Pure Oasis has received all of the needed approvals to open the pot shop today. Pro-family groups fear that store will only add to the drug problem in Beantown. Still to come this Monday, local churches and schools combat coronavirus, horrific house fire in Cumberland County, and pest control this spring in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. Spring is in the air. We'll talk temperatures and when the air may grow cooler again coming up. Your forecast is straight ahead. We'll see in about 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Monday, March 9th. A firefighter was killed along with a woman following a house fire in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, earlier today. Officials say the woman's husband was hurt in that blaze that broke out around 1:30 this morning in the town of Monroe, Pennsylvania.
The fire company got dispatched for a structure fire. Structure fire is pretty intense. The structure is unsafe at this point to enter.
That's Cumberland County Coroner Charlie Hall. He says the victims have been identified as 34-year-old Jerome Guys, a local firefighter, also killed in the blaze, 36-year-old Jessica Deal. The cause of that fire still under investigation this afternoon. Coronavirus on the move in the Empire State. There are now over 100 confirmed cases in New York.
We are trying to contain the spread of the virus.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says even though there's a state of emergency up in New York because of the virus, it's still not time to panic.
There's a level of fear here that is not connected to the facts. This is not the Ebola virus. This is not the SARS virus.
Of the 105 confirmed cases of coronavirus in New York, just two are upstate. Pennsylvania, meantime, now has six cases of the virus. Here's Governor Tom Wolf.
We will do what it takes to make sure the Pennsylvanians are safe. We've been doing that for 5 weeks. This is no different.
And Governor Tom Wolf has signed an emergency disaster declaration to help handle the virus in the Commonwealth. Schools across New York taking steps to combat coronavirus.
With so many kids in close contact throughout the day, schools are an excellent place for viruses, bacteria, and other pathogens to spread.
That's Patrick Finelli. He's with the Kenmore-Tonawanda School District in western New York. Finelli says the school has stepped up sanitation efforts because of the outbreak.
Another thing that the Buildings and Grounds Department has done is install hundreds of hand sanitizer dispensers at key locations throughout our buildings. And they've also upgraded all of the hand soap and paper towel dispensers for the express purpose of promoting hand washing.
Finelli says it's just a matter of time before the virus makes its way to western New York, and school districts have got to be proactive 18 students, meantime, who'd been studying abroad are now under quarantine at SUNY Brockport in Western New York because of concerns over coronavirus.
We have to, like, plan when to leave our room to go to the bathroom to get our food, which they drop off at the door. We have to wear our mask when we go to the door. We're not allowed to leave the rooms. We can't leave the building whatsoever. And we have to stay here for 14 days.
That's Brockport junior Sabrina Diaz. She was studying fashion design in Italy and is now under quarantine at SUNY Brockport. Well, it's not just schools dealing with coronavirus. Local churches also getting ready.
We want people to be alert and aware, but not panic.
Jacob Ledwin is pastor at St. Joseph University Church in Buffalo. He says they've made some changes to how communion is done in light of the coronavirus scare. Ledwin says folks are also changing the way they greet one another at church.
Rather than hug or shake hands, we ask people to smile, extend a kind word or an elbow bump or something like that.
Pastor Ledwin says the church is also stocking up on hand soaps and disinfectant wipes and sprays to stay ahead of the virus. Education activists are converging on Corning, New York this afternoon. They're there to talk about the need for more school teachers in the coming years.
Teaching, first of all, is a noble profession, and we've got to respect it as that.
New York State Senate candidate Leslie Danksburg.
We're asking our teachers to not just be teachers. We're asking them to also be nurses. We're asking them to deal with poverty in the classroom. We're asking them to deal with after-school care and child care. We are asking our school system to do things that are way beyond what our school system is funded to do.
One-third of the current crop of teachers in New York are expected to retire within the next 5 years, and there are not enough teachers in training to fill their ranks. More racist material found at Syracuse University. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
School officials say more offensive graffiti has been found on campus. A flyer was posted in Bird Library with tips on how to avoid the coronavirus, including staying away from people who are sick. The Department of Public Safety says someone added the word Chinese next to that advice. There have been over 30 racist, homophobic, or anti-Semitic incidents on or near the SU campus since November. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. A burn ban about to kick in New York. The DEC has banned outdoor burning from March 16th until May 14th. That's typically the time of year that New York State sees the most brush fires. Campfires, we're told, are permissible so long as you put them out when you are done. A mild winter expected to bring out the bugs this spring in Pennsylvania. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Jim Fredericks, chief entomologist for the National Pest Management Association, says Pennsylvanians should be on the lookout for pests such as mosquitoes and ticks, as greater numbers will have survived this mild winter. Rachel Bain, a writer for LawnStarter.com, a lawn care and pest control service in Pennsylvania, adds the stink bug to the list of creepy crawlers that could be massing for an attack this spring. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Okay, Terry, let's stay outside. Flood Safety Awareness Week starts today. Family Life's Dee Helly.
The National Weather Service has designated this week as Flood Safety Awareness Week. Flooding occurs throughout the year across the United States. It causes more damage in the U.S. than any other weather-related event. On average, floods cause $8 billion in damages and 89 fatalities annually. According to the National Weather Service, wireless emergency alerts will be disseminated for flash flood warnings or statements that are deemed considerable or catastrophic. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. Several high school basketball fans were arrested this past weekend inside the Blue Cross Arena in Rochester, New York. Police in the Flower City say the fights broke out as high school basketball games were going on. Most of those brawls involve teenagers. Authorities say five arrests were made. LeBron and company continue to roll. Sunny time, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start in Los Angeles, where the Lakers had a great weekend. Their second statement win in 3 days. They beat the Clippers yesterday, 112-103. Friday, they knocked off the league-leading Milwaukee Bucks. Frank Vogel, happy.
His best weekend in the Lakers uniform, I'm assuming. That I wasn't here last year, but you know, in my mind, this season, this was his best two-game stretch. Really just dominated both games. And you know, help close them out.
In action closer to home, in Brooklyn, the Nets beat the Bulls 110-107. That's Brooklyn's first game and win under interim coach Jacques Vaughn. In Cleveland, the Cavaliers went on a 6-0 run late in overtime, beating the Spurs 132-129. The Cavs 5-5 under new head coach J.B. Bickerstaff. At Madison Square Garden, the Knicks outscored the Pistons 24-13 in the fourth, pulled away for a 96-84 win. On the ice, Hurricanes crushed the Penguins 6-2. The Pens have lost 8 of 10. Sid Crosby.
You know, these last two games, I mean, you know, you look at yesterday's game, it's, you know, a few mistakes early on that gets us behind the eight ball. And then today, just a short span in the second period, you know, where they tie it and get to lead.
NASCAR overtime, FanShield 500 in Phoenix.
Second win of the season for Joey Logano.
Joey Logano holding off Kevin Harvick. Kyle Busch ended up in third. Buffalo with a brand new quarterback, Josh Norman, signed a one-year deal. XFL action week 5. Houston Roughnecks now 5-0 after a 32-23 win against the Seattle Dragons. New York Guardians knocked off the Dallas Renegades 30-12. DC Defenders beat the St. Louis Battlehawks 15-6. In a shootout, LA Wildcats beat the Tampa Bay Vipers 41-34. March Madness ramping up. Utah State, Belmont, Winthrop, Bradley, and Liberty all clinched automatic berths into the NCAA tournament over the weekend. Meanwhile, Wisconsin, Maryland, and Michigan State all won the Big Ten to end in a three-way tie for the conference crown. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Can't wait for the madness to start. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, coronavirus sell-off on Wall Street. Booker backs Biden and teaching boys how to be gentlemen in Binghamton.
When it comes to sex, everyone knows what Christians are against, but it's time that the world and we understand what Christians are for. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Now, in what might be called the wake of the sexual revolution, expressions of sexual chaos are everywhere. The list of things that Christians must reject is a long one. Pornography, abortion, infidelity, abuse, harassment, gender reassignment, same-sex marriage, polyamory, reproductive technologies, commercial surrogacy, even drag queen story hours. With so much to stand against, it's more important than ever that Christians remember what they're for. Despite an unfortunately common misreputation, both within the church and without, Christianity doesn't teach that human bodies are evil and evils to be controlled in order to avoid sin. Rather, it teaches that our physical bodies are part of who we are as made in the image of God. As part of the created order, then, our bodies are a type of natural revelation designed by God to reveal Himself. Because God frequently uses physical realities to reveal and even embody the mysteries of who He is and wants us to know, Christians need to know the why behind the what when it comes to our bodies. Thankfully, to this end, Christopher West has made a remarkable contribution in a new book entitled Our Bodies Tell God's Story. In his new book, West details a vision of our humanness, which includes our bodies as a feature and not a bug of our humanness. This is no vision of sexual repression, but of how our humanness fits in God's overarching work of redemption. On this foundation, we can answer, both for ourselves and for others, what it means to be male and female, about how human sexuality was intended by God in both single and married context, and about how the ultimate purpose of sex and marriage is found in God's ultimate purpose for His image bearers and His creation. After all, at the end of the day, all the questions about sex that currently dominate our culture are ultimately questions of purpose, not just morality. We're a world lost on who we are, and therefore what our bodies are for. Our purpose, as West reminds us, is revealed by God in His Word and in His world. As the masterful storyteller He is, even our bodies point to the deeper realities of Christ's self-giving love for His people, who will ultimately be united with God in eternal communion. In the marriage covenant, God designed a way for us to act out His great cosmic drama on a smaller stage of our everyday lives together. In fact, the symbolism of marriage ties Scripture together from beginning to end. Genesis begins with a wedding, Revelation ends with one. The first points to the last and reveals the kind of relationship God wants with us through Christ. Many are called to human marriage, all are called to eternal communion with God through Christ. This is why the Christian tradition values both human marriage and human singleness. To be clear, West approaches this topic as a faithful Catholic who maintains the teaching of his tradition. Not all Christians will agree on all of the implications in his teaching, like the role of contraception, but I still say that this book is must reading for all followers of Christ who want to be theologically clear about who we are as made in the image of God. As my friend Eric Metaxas writes in the foreword, this bold, compelling, hopeful, and healing vision of our creation as male and female is an antidote to the sexual crisis now plaguing the church and the world. And during the month of March, for a gift of any amount to support Breakpoint and the Colson Center, we'll send you a copy of Our Bodies Tell God's Story as a thank you gift. Again, that's for any gift in the month of March to support Breakpoint and the Colson Center. Come to Breakpoint.org to get your copy today. That's Breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour this Monday afternoon, little taste of spring out there today, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Spring is in the air this day. We'll be into tonight and tomorrow. Temperatures running well above normal. But a cold front will deliver showers late tonight and tomorrow, and cooler air will follow on Wednesday, noticeably so. In the meantime, for this afternoon, partial sunshine, mild, breezy. High temperatures mostly in the 60s. Clouds will thicken tonight. Some showers late tonight, western New York and western Pennsylvania, low in the 40s and low 50s. Cloudy with showers tomorrow. Not as mild as today, the high mainly 50s. Noticeably cooler Wednesday, clouds and some sunshine. The high Wednesday, upper 30s to the upper 40s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, March 9th. For a while this morning, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down more than 2,000 points. The tense times all fueled by coronavirus concerns and a steep plunge in the price of oil. Just minutes into the trading day, trading circuit breakers kicked in, halting all trading for 15 minutes.
The concept behind that is let's put the brakes on, let people think about what they're actually doing, and are they reacting appropriately to the magnitude of negative news that we have.
That's market strategist Art Hogan in Northern California. Meantime, a cruise ship with 21 coronavirus victims on board will be allowed to dock in Oakland.
The first people to be evacuated will be those who require medical attention. They're going to be taken to area hospitals. The rest are going to be transferred to military bases around the country here in California, but also in Texas and Georgia, where they'll be tested for the virus and held for another 2 weeks.
That's Carter Evans reporting from Oakland, California. The State Department today warning folks to avoid traveling by cruise ships because of the coronavirus scare overseas. There's a travel ban in northern Italy. Japan has postponed the start of big league baseball there, and sporting events in Europe will go on without any fans, all because of coronavirus. On the campaign trail, Joe Biden got yet another endorsement today from a former Democratic White House hopeful, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker.
It's a time for us to beat Donald Trump, and it became very clear to me that Joe Biden is the right person to do that.
Six states, including the all-important state of Michigan, will be holding primaries tomorrow. A lot of political pundits say if Joe Biden wins in Michigan, it's all but over for Bernie Sanders. Yet another issue with Boeing's grounded 737 MAX jetliners. Here's correspondent Vicky Barker.
The FAA is reportedly poised to order Boeing to relocate crucial wiring inside its MAX jets, potentially further delaying the plane's return to the air. The Wall Street Journal reports FAA managers and engineers fear the current layout could, under extreme circumstances, send the planes into the kind of nosedives implicated in the model's two fatal crashes. For now, Boeing is saying it still expects the MAX jets to be back in the air around mid-June.
It's Vicky Barker reporting. Lawmakers in the state of Alabama are looking to overturn a quarter-century ban on yoga being practiced in public schools. Democrat Jeremy Gray is proposing a new bill that's passed the Education Policy Committee that would allow schools to offer yoga as an elective. The state barred the practice back in 1993, along with other practices such as meditation. We are coming up on 24 minutes past the hour this Monday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Action, a feature that focuses on the work of missionaries who are delivering the good news of Jesus around the region and around the world. Today we're visiting with Valerie Althaus, the New York City Area Director for International Students Incorporated.
So I oversee our ministry team in the New York City area, and our major focus is that there are about 99,500 students from other countries studying on visa at our universities in this area, and we are here to be sure that each one of them has an opportunity to be befriended by someone who loves and follows Jesus.
Wow, just 99,000 students?
Just a few, yeah.
Wow, I cannot even imagine. So you're learning all about so many different cultures, but mostly it's about hospitality.
Yes, hospitality is a great tool to cross cultures and to share the love of Christ in a way that really relates to a felt need. You know, students are far away from home and often just need that older brother or sister or friend that will come alongside them as they're living and working in a country that's foreign to their homeland.
You're reaching out to all these people. Some of them might be from rural areas. And there you are, even now, joining me from a New York City coffee shop. It's all about connection.
Very much so. The relationships that we're trying to build with students really start with where their felt needs are. If there's a desire to improve their English or understand how to get a job in an American culture where there's just some different rules compared to what they did in the country that they're from. There is culture shock as well, certain unwritten rules of society that we all know, but students are coming from their own set of unwritten rules, and we are learning theirs. And then when you talk about culture, it's really a bridge to talking about religion and faith background, so that we can bridge the conversation to who we follow and why.
Valerie, as the coordinator of all this, do you have tons of other students that are also ministering and connecting with the students that are international?
That's a great question, Tracy, because this is really the direction that we're heading in the next several years. We are looking to invest in the next generation of those that would want to reach the nations by reaching international students. So we are recruiting younger people to join our team for a year to 3 years as an initial commitment and really learn how to do this work in an urban setting, and then watch and see if God leads them in that direction in the future.
For the people that are listening and saying, I want to reach out to people who may be different from me, do you have a practical step or two that we could take?
The first thing is just to open our eyes and see. We don't always notice those that are different, but if we look around at the coffee shops we visit, the stores we go to, the libraries we visit, are there people that I could connect with in friendship in some way and begin to enter as a learner, begin to understand their cultural background? And then as we share our lives together, I share what's important to me and I share about who Jesus is.
Valerie, what has been one of the things that has maybe shocked you or surprised you the most as you reach out to the international students?
I've been doing this for 14 years. And so when I think back to my first year, I realized how very American I was. I could see my own culture and thinking more clearly by seeing it through the eyes of others. That was really enlightening. And then the second thing is that when you're from a Christian background, figuring out how to communicate who Jesus is cross-culturally, it was a surprise how I had been trained for that, but I had to really find ways to bridge from their experience and their thinking to how Jesus fits in and is good news to them and their culture and their background and what their hopes are.
Could you give us an example of that?
For many years, I was part of an on-the-ground team at a local university running English conversation groups for students that were studying law. Through those conversations, I was able to invite two young women. I said, you know, sometimes I read the Bible with people who want to read it for the first time. If you're interested, let me know. We could sit down and meet before or after a group and just talk through it. And two girls expressed interest. And one of them ended up meeting with me almost every week for 2 years. She and I would just meet and talk through the Bible and be as honest and clear about what it meant and what it meant in my life. She ended up returning to her home country in Asia. She hadn't committed her life to Christ when she was with me. But then several months later, I got a random email from her that said, "Hey, Valerie, I just want to tell you that I joined this church in Asia. She had actually decided to give her life to Christ, and now she's a very active disciple. And she used to be someone who was an atheist. When I first met her, she said, 'Why would I even want to bring children into such a broken world? I don't really believe in anything.' And now she's a solid follower of Jesus in leadership in her church."
That's Valerie Althaus with International Students Incorporated. I'm Tracy Lynn with Family Life News. How is the Lord guiding you to reach out to others?
Thank you, Tracy. Missions in Action comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Spring is in the air this day. We'll be into tonight and tomorrow. Temperatures running well above normal. But a cold front will deliver showers late tonight and tomorrow, and cooler air will follow on Wednesday, noticeably so. In the meantime, for this afternoon, partial sunshine, mild, breezy, high temperatures mostly in the 60s. Clouds will thicken tonight, some showers late tonight, western New York and western Pennsylvania, low in the 40s and low 50s. Cloudy with showers tomorrow, not as mild as today, the high mainly 50s, noticeably cooler Wednesday, clouds and some sunshine. The high Wednesday, upper 30s to the upper 40s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noontime, a gym teacher at Benjamin Franklin Elementary School in Binghamton, New York, is teaching 4th and 5th grade boys how to be gentlemen. So far, the results have been nothing short of spectacular.
I get compliments from other teachers. You know, so-and-so held the door for me. This student who's a gent held the door for one of the girls that was coming in. They helped one of the girls off the playground. They helped each other on the playground.
Jeremiah Johnson says the course curriculum for his gents program includes everything from restaurant etiquette to dressing properly. Here's fourth grader Lionel Zavalos Ramos.
Being a gentleman is like being nice to people, and if they get hurt, you can help them. It will help me to be a better person when I grow up.
The students enrolled in the Gents program were given shirts and ties last week for their A-plus effort at being a gentleman. The school says it's so impressed with the results, they hope to expand the program next year. That is the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.